welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. Hope you're doing well, Venkat.
Yep, going on. Busy couple of weeks, but it's been all right.
Yeah, no. It feels like it was a new year just now, and we're already like the end of January. Obviously, looking forward to the Border Gavaskar Trophy starting in a couple of weeks' time. A couple of things, I mean, to look at for us on this episode, probably let's start with the news that, you know, obviously India won the ODI series against New Zealand, so yet another bilateral series under the belt at home.
Yeah.
The names of the series changes, you know, we used to say like, no, yeah, as soon as you say PTM series, India would just win. It changed to MasterCard series now, but the difference doesn't, you know, make much of a difference. It's just like, yeah, swat around. Some good performance. We'll look at like, you know, specific performance scenario, but just generally speaking, obviously, the building towards the World Cup, the road to the World Cup, so to speak, according to Star Sports in India. The only downside of the series was there's no Virat Kohli century.
Yeah, he looked in a couple of games, but got out. I think one of the games I remember, he was out for a left arm. You know, I think that is his weakness, and I think you know, somebody was mentioning in our group as well, like Santner's bunny. I mean, I don't agree with that, but left arm is an area you can see in the next couple of games he was wanting to come forward and got beaten a couple of times, almost got stumped. So yeah, Kohli, you know, as much as he is a great bat, I mean, at this point sometimes he's struggling with left arm slow bowler, but here I'm sure they will iron out. To your point with respect to World Cup, I think Dravid said we are set for World Cup in terms of the team. We were talking about last couple of weeks how the team was chopping and changing. So now I think they have arrived at their 11, I suppose.
Have they? I mean, I don't know. I'm not convinced yet, like, you know, because, well, unless he's talking about, like, you know, the likes of Bumrah, Ravindra Jadeja, who haven't obviously played in the last couple of series. Obviously, there was no KL Rahul and Shreyas Iyer this series. So, there's a bit of, you know, assuming they all are fit. Clearly, there's no Rishabh Pant. So, Ishan Kishan, I don't know. I mean, this series, like, you know, he kept wickets, but it's like, you know, a lot of the Indian batsmen, if you like, just looking at the scores, everybody wants to play at the opening. Ishan Kishan opened in Bangladesh, got a 200. Shubman Gill's opened in this series, and then he's got a 200.
Yeah, I mean, because of the fact that, you know, everybody wants the ball coming onto the bat, and pretty much, you know, that's the best time to bat, everybody knows. You know, you just get a couple of even edges and, you know, you can drive through the line. Whereas once the slow bowler starts coming, it's a lot more hard work. You can't hit as many boundaries, so there's a lot more running. And in Indian, you know, conditions, it's going to take a lot out of somebody. I think that those are the reasons. I think everybody would want to kind of bat up front. And with 50-over game especially, you know, you do have time to settle in as well. So it's not like you're hitting from the day one.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, looking at it. I don't know, if you write down your 11 for first game in the World Cup, some of the obvious names in would be like, you know, you'd have, let's see, Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli. Assuming Bumrah is fit, you'd say Bumrah for sure. If Ravindra Jadeja is fit, that's
Jadeja,
another one. Hardik Pandya.
If he's fit.
Yeah, he's okay. So it's like there's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's there. The question marks, would they go for Rahul or Ishan Kishan in terms of wicket keeping? I suspect they'd go KL Rahul.
I do suspect that they'll go to KL Rahul as well.
And then Shubman Gill,
yeah,
the other opener.
Yeah, he looks set, at least going by the series. So Shubman Gill probably is going to open. I'm still not convinced personally. I think I would rather have Ishan Kishan. But sometimes you look at the stroke play, I think who is more likely to get out? Yeah, is how I think Dravid would think. And in that answer, I think Shubman Gill is less likely to get out than Ishan Kishan.
Yeah, so the Shreyas Iyer. And then I'm thinking Siraj, probably. Shami and Kuldeep Yadav? Or?
Sahil hasn't done anything, but again, I would, given by recent form, I think Yuzi Chahal is struggling, so they would probably go with Kuldeep.
Yeah, I think India, I can't see India going like five out. What? Even this one, as I write down the team, it just looks like, you know, three pace bowlers probably, yeah. Because you're then looking at, like, you know, this is actually a good team, you know, in terms of bowling and batting. You know, if Jadeja, yeah. Hardik Pandya, like Bumrah, that's three, Siraj, four, Shami, five, and then Kuldeep Yadav, Yuzvi Chahal, whichever. So there are actually, like, you know, you get six genuine bowlers.
Yeah. Why haven't you considered the Shardul Thakur?
Yeah.
In the bat. I mean, if Bumrah is fit, I don't think Shardul will play, because, and Jadeja, if he's fit, I don't think. And you have fallback for Akshar Patel. So, there is a lot of competition around the bowling all-rounder spot. I think Shardul Thakur is a good backup. He will be still in the squad, not in the playing 11, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Washington Sundar.
Yeah.
Probably depends on how Umrah Malik goes. It may well be like, you know, over this one or not, you know, in terms of the IPL and everything else. So,
yeah.
Shardul Thakur, yes, he can bat and ball, you know, he's definitely an all-rounder. But if you had Hardik Pandya, Ravindra Jadeja.
Yeah.
Shardul Thakur would be a number three all-rounder. He's definitely not going to be ahead of those two.
No.
If those two are available, they will be your first choice all-rounders.
Yeah.
So, with that in place, I think, yeah, he'll be in the squad. I mean, I know we'll be discussing sort of way out there still. There's probably a lot of cricket to be played between now and the start of the World Cup. So, there is... Yeah. Fair bit to be still done.
But the good thing, you know, if you really look at it, is Dravid in his interview today said we've narrowed down on the group of players we want and we are almost there. It's only about ensuring the players that we have narrowed down. We play them more one-day cricket and prioritize the format. So whoever is going to be dropped from the T20 squad, you can look at them being almost a certainty in the ODI. You know, kind of World Cup. Kohli and Sharma have been given a rest for the ODI T20s.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking ahead, where are we now? We're January 23, isn't it? What have India got after this? We've got another three ODIs against Australia at home. Then.
Yeah.
According to the ICC Future Tours program, there's no cricket after this for us until, for India, until the World Cup. But I'm pretty sure India play a shed load of cricket between now and this might be based on the old one where the World Cup wasn't supposed to be in June. Oh, sorry, it's WTC. No, the actual World Cup is not until October, isn't it? So India are going away for a 3-game ODI to West Indies.
Yeah.
And then there's some. We play about another 3 ODIs, Australia at home. Yeah, so it's about another 3, 6, 9 games at least before the World Cup. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Like, you know, so I think I'm sure the BCCI will find and squeeze somebody else to play the ODI. There's obviously, like, you know, fairly big chunks of gaps. So
I think there is definitely more time now. You did say that we don't have. I mean, you have IPL, and then there'll be definitely a lull after that.
And then obviously, clearly, it depends on, like, you know, whether we qualify for the. There's a gap there between April and May, but then if we qualify for the World Test Championship, then obviously we'll be away in England playing the World Test Championship. So that might be one of the reasons, depending on how the Australian Test Series goes, that will get filled in as well. We kind of jumped ahead and sort of started looking at the World Cup against. Just coming back to this particular series, my take, I think, on this was, like, you know, it was more. I mean, just looking at the scores in the 3 games, India have scored, like, you know, huge, like, each game has gone. Was it 300? Well, I mean, the middle game, the first one was almost 350. India scored 349. Target was 3. And New Zealand almost chased it down to, like, you know, 337 was the first one. And then this game is 385. If you go back and look at, like, you know, some of the previous results against Sri Lanka as well, it was, like, there was another 390. And then before that, there was 373. India seemed to be consistently breaking the 350 barrier.
Yeah.
Every second match.
I mean, they do have the firepower. It's the bowling that is really of concern. I think not closing out games. So, the first ODI, if I can draw your attention, you know, kind of almost was done and dusted. And then these guys, you know, Santner and Bracewell kind of revived that innings and kind of almost brought it back. They were very close to winning. We all know. I was like, and then even the third ODI, the one that just finished, you know, I think they were really tracking well. Of course, they left it too with the middle order failure was what hurt them. And I was saying pre-show, I mean, we were talking 3 or 4 single digit scores in that game kind of really hurt them. Otherwise, they were there. I mean, yeah, that's the worrying factor for me. Now you can say that once Bumrah comes and you have the full team and all that, but it's the same token, New Zealand is also not playing their full team. So this is a trend that I'm noticing, that we are struggling to close out games. When Australia was at its peak, or, you know, good teams when they are in their peak, they would never give you an inch. It's just close out the games. I think that's where we would need to work on.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously talked about this in Bangladesh as well. We lost a couple of games. We lost the series, essentially, the bowling. So the bowling still is of concern. There is a weak link. Now, the argument you can make is, like, you know, it's the dew factor is one of the things, you know, why probably bowling has been weak. That's an argument, because when India bowled first, In Raipur, in the second game, you know, they bowled New Zealand out for 108.
Yeah.
So, clearly, like, you know, there is that, I know we one of the things, you know, I think Arashwin got in one of his shows to say, like, you know, when the World Cup happens, we should probably start the game earlier at 11 a.m. start. It's something, you know, obviously that's kind of the ICC, but India could potentially try that suggestion, you know, in the next couple of series, you know, that if they're playing at, especially the Australia series, they're playing at home, to have like 11 a.m. starts to see, like, you know, how does the new impact. So that would probably, like, you know, help them to get an idea or an understanding as to, like, you know, where is the bowling, you know, affected by the dew and things like that.
Yeah, and that same argument, I mean, 11 o'clock start might mean that you're playing in peak, you know, sun. So, you know, 11 to whatever, 2 o'clock. I mean, it would remain back in the days when before white ball was always a day night game. We used to have, you know, like...
Yeah, we used to have like 9 a.m. starts. Like, you know, it used to be 9 a.m. starts back in the day.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, you know, these days... Well, at least for the World Cup, it's actually in October. So, 11 a.m. start will not be that bad. You know, it's not going to be that significantly hot. Maybe obviously, the Australian series playing in March might be a challenge. But yeah, that one probably not so much.
I don't think they would revise the playing conditions this close. I don't know how these things work, but you know, telecast, broadcast rights, and this and that.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, isn't it? The broadcasting side of it.
Yeah, they won't be, you know, kind of closing out. I mean, starting like full 3 hours early. I mean, that upsets a lot of, you know, fan days or market.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Like, you know, I think I get, like, you know, in other countries probably. I mean, in England, for example, the test started 11 a.m. and they don't start it earlier. Like, you know, even though there is so much more daylight, and, you know, especially like, you know, kind of in September and stuff like that, you think you can start an hour earlier, etc., because of this thing. But in India, it's different. You know, even you start the game at 9 a.m. in the morning. You have a 6 a.m. start as well, you know, probably fans will turn up.
Yeah.
It definitely, like, you know, for ODIs and T20s, I don't think India will ever have a problem filling the stands.
No, it's not filling the stands. I don't think that will ever be a problem in India, at least for some time to come, until they beat the dead horse out of this format. But yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, I think fan base stands, I think that's a very small source of revenue, if you know what I mean. It's all the broadcasting rights and the ad revenue, which is what they are looking at. So,
so that's probably something that, you know, India could potentially try to see. But yeah, I think, as I said, like New Zealand as well, they're actually the batting was okay, even more the bowling that let down. Absolutely, like, and there was nobody you could pick up, you know, from a batting perspective, at least, like, you know, Mitchell Santner played, you know, and I think the other game, as you were saying, who was it, Devon Conway today scored 100. They actually had, like, 3 players, I think, scoring 100.
Yep. But yeah, it's like, a worrying sign. I mean, to let, you know, I know it feels... But, you know, they were really first game. Yeah, I thought they had won. So it is, I don't know if it is to do with captaincy. Yeah, some of the field placements. And I think, I don't know if it's a part of the strategy even to bowl somebody without making much change. It does seem like when you have such an authoritative target that's imposed and you let people slip, and, you know, a couple of times it, you know, at least once it came really close to coming back and biting them.
Yeah. So that's probably a couple of them. Just kind of quickly looking at something else here. I was having a look at thing. Where else? I mean, obviously, the next thing, like, you know, the T20 series starts in a couple of days' time. This thing, you're right. You said, like, you know, sort of they've obviously rested, but it just feels like, you know, this T20 series is inconsequential. There is nothing riding on it, so you know, there's no consequences. So I'm not sure. There'll be a lot that much riding on that.
I don't think there is any consequence for this. They will just, you know, it's just a three T20As as well. So there is one on Friday, Sunday, and Wednesday. Strange on 1st of February, but yeah, there you go. And then the test kind
Then
of
the big
starts.
one. Talking about the test series. Obviously the Ranji Trophy is going, you know. So do you think, like, you know, sort of some Red Bull
Yeah, I think somebody asked this question to Rahul. Can these guys not go to that? And he replied saying, yeah, it is, there is a big challenge. The logistics simply don't work like that in terms of, you know, kind of detaching from the national setup and going and playing for the state. I think there is a bit of this, I mean, there's a bit of that. But somebody asked this exact question, Srini. I think it would definitely help playing in the longer format, especially for players like Kohli. But having said that, I think, you know, the counterpoint is like Dravid said, that there is a challenge in terms of releasing people back into international setup.
really? I mean, surely, like, you know, the likes of some of them can definitely get in some batting. You know, the Karnataka are leading on, you know, in Elite Group C. Maybe Kohli might be the one, you know, because Delhi aren't up there, but maybe not even for Mumbai as well. Mumbai probably down, Maharashtra and Saurashtra, so possibly, like, you know, definitely I would. Maybe you can talk about this, but you know, I know, for example. And Jadeja is going to be is playing that one game for Saurashtra, but you know, if they qualify, it should probably, like, you know, for him to get a little bit more bowling under his belt, he should probably play the quarterfinals as well.
Yeah.
That might at least for surely for somebody like Ravindra Jadeja, he's not been in the squad for, you know, he's not had a lot of cricket, so he can definitely play. He's obviously playing against bowled, what is he bowled, 17 overs for 36. So far he's only had like 17 overs under his belt. He can definitely, like, you know, get a little bit more.
Yeah, just I think he was speaking about the 31st quarter final colliding with build up for Border Gavaskar Trophy. I think he did say that if, you know, if some opportunity arises and someone is not playing in our team for semi final or final, that they would certainly release the players back into the team. So I think those are some of the main challenges that he was talking about. So yeah, just to complete on that, I think they have a preparatory camp as well for the Border Gavaskar Trophy, which exactly collides. And you can argue saying that the best preparation is going and playing in a match, especially with Nathan Lyon, you know, coming in. You need more spin kind of exposure,
Yeah, I mean,
especially.
especially for the likes of Ravindra Jadeja, for sure playing another 4-day game is going to be a lot more useful, you know, given the fact he's not played a lot of cricket. You can have as much nets as you want. That's probably a better prep. And Rohit Sharma didn't play the ODI, sorry, the Test series in Bangladesh as well, so it would definitely help him. Like, you know, it's been a fair while since he's actually had any kind of red ball.
Of course.
You find this though, you know, I mean, this is wider discussion, but you think about it and say, once somebody makes the step up from Ranji Trophy to India and kind of starts performing, they never go back and play, which is completely
Never.
different if you think about, like, you know, the likes of Joe Root, Bairstow, etc., actually playing for, you know, Yorkshire or Stokes or Durham, etc. here.
Yeah.
But it's only, I think, in some, well, can't talk about Pakistan or Sri Lanka, but surely in India, when was the last time, you know, Kohli actually played a domestic game? You tend to think.
I don't think Kohli has played. I mean, not that I can remember, not, or even if he's played. I mean, he's played a long time back.
Yeah, either for Delhi, you know, it's, I think, when was it? When would have been his last first class game? He's just played, so he's only played about 136 first class games. And I wonder whether that includes the tests of 104 games. It's probably like a long, long time ago.
It is a long time ago. I mean, I mean, if you go back, I think there will be. I think these days they did never get big because of the IPL being a big factor, and of course, you know, there's so much of cricket packed that the international calendar itself doesn't give them any time. So obviously, you know, you can see from a player's standpoint why they don't get time to play the. Yeah.
Yeah, lots. It's just one of those things where it's a shame, you know, because you think really the likes of, you know, those other guys, especially if they have a break in between. I don't know whether they just think, well, I'm not going to go and play, or what the reasoning is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just another sort of a discussion point. Nothing that, you know, we can probably conclude on in terms. Looking kind of, you know, wider. Obviously, the India women's team is playing
Triangle
Series,
yeah,
more as a prep for the World Cup. Fingers crossed it goes well. Again, nothing. Well, they played a couple of games, one each against South Africa and West Indies, and
yeah.
I was actually looking at that, and I'm thinking, like, you know, it seems to be, it's the same people, like, sort of performing, if you like, for India.
Yeah.
The same names repeatedly you tend to see. There's not a lot of new names. I mean, Smriti Mandhana scored 80 odd, I think, in today's match.
Yeah, and she started, I mean, second one of the games she scored 74 as well.
Yeah.
I mean, she's in a completely different league altogether. I mean, that's one thing that you notice, the gulf between Smriti Mandhana and the rest of the players is like heaven and yeah, it's a completely different league altogether. And then you have, I mean, you do have performances from other people time and time again, but nothing that matches.
And you look at the bowling, it's the same thing. Like, you know, it's Karik Ward, it's Radha Yadav, it's Shikha Pandey. Sort of think, well, where's the next new blood coming in? Probably looking at the sort of the women's under-19 World Cup, there's probably a few people. You wonder whether, you know, that's something that can. They could have looked at it, and I don't know whether they had to, like, you know, sort of pick up the World Cup squad early enough, because obviously the squad's already been announced.
Yeah.
Whether somebody could get a chance from there, you know, India are 4 games played, you know, in the under-19 World Cup.
Yeah.
1-3, lost 1. So, everybody is, like, you know, Australia similarly, South Africa similarly, kind of thing. New Zealand is the only team that's kind of played 4, and I'm just looking at this one again. India lost to, like, Australia women. That's the only game in the under-19s as well. And it's all like 60 for 359, 87, etc. Okay. Just keeping an eye on. I haven't really been, because obviously with the time difference and everything else, I haven't really been watching, you know, just keeping an eye out on the scores, etc.
Yeah.
And then obviously the other big news in the women's world, I think, to be announced as the women's IPL coming up. I think the franchises are to be announced on the 25th.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting. The five. Wonder who. Unfortunately for us, I think CSK have chosen not to. It's a shame. I was hoping there'll be a CSK women's team, but clearly.
Yeah, me too. Secretly hoping that we would have a women's team, but probably we would need to support somebody else now.
Yeah, so got to think of.
Yeah, I think there are mixed reports about CSK choosing not to this versus them not being eligible. I think there are reports that I've read that they are not eligible for bidding. But there are companies from headquartered in Chennai, let me put it that way, are going to be bidding, I suppose. I think at least they have expressed interest.
Yeah. So, you never know. There might still be Chennai Women's team.
Yeah.
It's not it Chennai Super Kings.
CSK, maybe.
Well, I'm sure they can still call themselves the CSQ. There's nothing to stop them calling the Chennai Super Queens. And let's hope Kate Cross from England, kind of, she's a big CSK fan. She comes over to like the CSQ. But
yeah.
In terms of the, because obviously the 10 stadiums that have been listed is like, the M.H. Chidambaram is one of the stadiums that's been listed.
Yeah.
Cities and the stadiums that have been listed by, so we'll. Hopefully tomorrow we should know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm looking forward to, women's IPL starting in March. And especially if India can manage to win the T20 World Cup, that'll be an absolutely icing in the cake. It will seriously, women's cricket in India will go through the roof.
Yeah, of course.
That's definitely a thing. The other sort of in passing news, before we round up on this one, was the fact, I think it's just been buried under the sort of thing that the ICC has proposed a 16 T20 event for both men and women at the 2028 Olympics. The surprise kind of says, the news just seems to have buried it without any kind of fanfare. So, Los Angeles 2028, the recommendation from ICC has been to have 60 teams. I don't know, obviously, whether it will be proper professional teams or amateur teams or some sort of qualification to how.
Yeah.
How do you get to that 6 teams?
I mean, with India's bench strength, they can retire people and say they're no longer professional and then field them in Olympics. That's the kind of depth that we have. I'm sure England can do the same. And yeah, I think I read some Facebook posts about, do you think cricket needs to be here or T10? Somebody was proposing for Olympics. I think it's going to be good.
So, I know it's kind of quite a way away, another 5 years away, but it'll be interesting to see the exposure T20 will get if it's both cricket and T20, if it's in the World Cup, the Olympics. So we'll see how that goes. The next, by the time we do the next episode of this podcast, we'll probably be closer to the start of the test series. So we'll look at more detail in terms of both the teams, etc. Spend a little bit of time on that one in the next episode. So until then, if you do like this episode, do download us from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get it, and leave your review and ratings. As usual, we are also on Twitter at Yellow and Blues. So definitely drop us a note and we look forward to hearing from you. So until then, have a good whatever you're doing, have a good evening.